This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Dan from Desert Island Dicks. This episode features comedian and writer Sarah Callahan, and we had a lovely chat about the things and people that she'd hate to be stuck on a desert island with. I mean, that much is obvious, because that's the nature of the show. I mean, obviously, you know, what else would we be talking about? Sometimes the conversation crosses over into other areas, but mainly it's in the arena of talking about things and people she hates. So, you know, that's that. Just my usual little request to ask if you could give us a review and a rating and subscribe. That would be great. And also subscribing obviously means that you never miss an episode. So that's very handy indeed. Okay, let's keep it short today. Here's the podcast with Sarah Callahan on Desert Island Dicks. Hi, I'm Dan Benedictus and welcome to Desert Island Dicks, the show that sees you marooned on a desert island after a plane crash with the worst people and worst things imaginable. Who they are and why they're a dick is up to our guest, and here to share their Desert Island Dicks with us today is comedian and writer Sarah Callahan. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very well. I've just woken up, but but I'm ready. I'm ready for this.
I guess your mood for this podcast might depend quite heavily on whether you're a morning person or not.
Well, it's past morning now, isn't it? So I'm in that grey area.
Oh yeah, I mean technically it's mid morning, but I mean I guess whatever time I wake up, I'm just useless for about 2 hours.
So oh, really?
I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'm definitely a night owl for sure.
So I mean, how did you find it today choosing your dicks for the island?
Quite easy. I hate quite a lot of stuff. Pretty much all of them came to mind like straight away. There was only like one or two that I had to think about. So,
okay. Yeah. So maybe because a lot of people sort of fall into either there's a camp of people find it really hard because they don't want to offend people, or the other camp is there's so many people it's difficult to sort of narrow it down. But yeah. You seem like you're quite decisive then.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, cool. Do you enjoy a bit of a rant normally, or are you more reserved?
Yeah, I would say so. Especially over the last 2 years, there's been quite a lot to rant about.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. All right. Well, let's just get into it then. Who's going to be the first person joining you on the island?
Unfortunately, it's going to be Amanda Holden.
Okay, Amanda Holden. And what's your beef with Amanda?
I just find her really annoying. I feel like she's like super fake. She always tries to like be funny and she's not. Or like be a bit like kooky and like out there and say something that's like shocking, but it's just like, I know it's not her, you know what I mean? I just feel like she'll be a bit of a, I mean, I've never met her personally, but I get the vibe that she might be a bitch off camera, you know?
Yeah, she reminds me of one of those sort of old porcelain dolls, do you know what I mean? Like she could smash quite easily. And I don't know if it's because of like the way, I don't know, she's put together on telly or something. She looks quite brittle, you know what I mean? And I feel like her personality would be similar.
Yeah, I agree, totally.
Because it's weird, isn't it? There's a lot of sort of TV presenters out there that sort of do a similar role. And I guess, you know, it's something I wouldn't be able to do. But like some of them sort of are more believable than others. I feel like with her, it's difficult to imagine her being that sort of soft and fluffy off camera.
Yeah, she seems very fake. But then I could be wrong, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many times where you might judge someone like that and then it's wrong. But I don't know, with her, I haven't really read anything where she's been like really nice or done good things or, you know?
Mm.
So I'm like, well, if she was a good person, that would have come out at some stage, innit?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know anything about her. It just seems like, but I mean, to be honest, I'm not sort of person that would read anything that had her in it or like, you know, or watch yeah. anything with her. So it's kind of, you know, my lack of knowledge about her is quite easy to keep up, you know? Is there anything to her? Like what's her deal? It's just, does TV and then that's it.
That's the thing. It's like, what do you even do, love? And did you see that show that she did with Keith Lemon? Where
I saw a trailer for it where he's dressed up as her grandmother.
Yeah, that's so random. So now she's like getting into like acting and all that. And I just thought the whole show was shit. And I don't think it got the good reviews and that. I think she's really...
clutching at straws?
Clutching at straws, yeah.
So that TV show, for anyone who hasn't seen it, Keith Lemon dresses up in like heavy prosthetics, pretends to be her sort of awkward grandmother who's staying with her, and then she invites someone famous round for dinner, and then the grandmother says awful things, and it's sort of like hidden camera, isn't it?
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, but it's very, very weird.
Well, the weirdest thing I thought about that, I mean, it's a very strange concept, but in the trailer I watched, there's a bit where she's eating sushi and she calls wasabi. And I thought, to me, that's the makings of a psychopath.
Yep, she's a murderer.
So, you know, on the practicalities of a desert island as well, then, do you think she'd sort of... I can't imagine her getting stuck in.
No, I don't think she'd get stuck in. And then I reckon she'd be one of them ones that would just go on and on and on, like, about all these different stories, like, trying to name drop and... Just, I get like the vibe that she'd think she's better than you and that.
Mm.
Just do my, like, just, yeah, wouldn't get stuck in, wouldn't come up with any helpful ideas.
Yeah. I think presenters are quite a weird bunch because it's something like, you know, if you're like globally famous, like if you're a film star or something, you're acting, you're in these big productions and you're sort of famous worldwide. So I can sort of see why they kind of become a bit strange. But when you're presenters, like, it's such a local kind of specific sort of fame that only relates to the shows they're on. You know what I mean? Outside of that, like, big circus, there's nothing really going on.
It's weird that they've become celebrities because I don't know when that started. I mean, the whole celebrity culture's grown over the years, but, like, I'm sure back in the day, presenters weren't as, you know, as big celebrities as they are today, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I think it's yeah. just that gone with the whole celebrity culture because, really, it is not a skill and it's not a talent as such. Like, it's not like, they've spent years training and learning and, you know, like singers or dancers or actors or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's like, yes, people can be good and bad at presenting, but ultimately it's just reading an auto cue and being confident and good looking, you know, so.
Yeah, because in the past you think like to be a sort of a prime time, be on prime time telly or like an interview programme or like a entertainment show, you had to be like, you know, a bit witty or kind of charming or.
Yeah.
But like I say, she just sort of reminds me of like a robot or a mannequin or something, you know, it's like, I get that you're doing all the things, but there's nothing sort of, there's no sparkle in the eye, you know, it's kind of.
She's dead. She's got no soul. I don't know what where she came from before though. What's her story? I need to actually. I should give her a Google, but I just can't bear to look at her face.
Skew your algorithms, and then you get lots of news about.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough. Okay, yeah, I think she'd be hard work on a desert island, and I think she's a good choice. It's going to be interesting to see the interplay between her and the other characters on the island. So let's see who's going to be joining her.
Right. Along with her, I think we're going to have Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Oh, yes, of course. Now, I mean, a lot of us can imagine why you'd picked him, but like, let's hear your workings out.
So I actually do think that he is like some sort of like alien or like devil reincarnation in human form.
Yeah.
Because the way he speaks, again, very robotic, very strange, very odd, like his skin tone and that. And the fact he doesn't do anything for himself, I feel like he would just like, what's the word? Like if he's a computer, he's just like glitch if he tries to make his own cup of tea or put his own kids to bed and shit. Mm. So yeah, I just think he's a weirdo. And he should, I think him and Amanda would get on though, to be honest.
Yeah, well, except I think he's going to see her. Well, he sees everyone is so below his level. Mm. I can imagine he'd go, well, you know, you just host silly, trivial, vulgar TV shows.
Yeah.
But some of them you think, okay, I don't like your politics, but we could probably find some middle ground.
Have a few drinks.
Yeah, and after a while, when society is just an irrelevance that we'll never get back to, then it's okay. But with Jacob Rees-Mogg, I just think you'd have to do something about him.
But it's annoying, though, because I hate him so much, but obviously if I couldn't kill him and eat him because there's not much of him. So I don't know what value he'd have for me on the island. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I might have said this before on the podcast, but I'm sort of obsessed with the shape of him because, like, he looks like a really skinny man, right? Yeah. But if you see him, he's got really like wide suits, and I wonder if it's like he started off skinny, but it was because he's obviously never done any exercise and he just lives on like foie gras and like claret and stuff. You know what I mean? I bet it feels like underneath his head or underneath his neck is just like a really weird shape because he has these big shapeless suits on.
Yeah.
Or like maybe he is like part alien, like you say, and it's just there's all kinds of like, you know, he's just covered in nipples or something.
Yeah.
Just some bizarre
tentacles.
Fucking, yeah, like just some weird shit going on. Or like he'd lift up his shirt and there's just like Thatcher's head inside his stomach, just controlling everything. And go on, say something mean.
Do you know what? That wouldn't be the weirdest thing that's happened this year. To find that out, that would be mad.
Yeah. He's the sort of person who says things about, like, come on, you've got to roll your sleeves up and get on with it, and we won the war, and blah, blah, blah. But if it came down to a survival situation where you are, you know, and you said, come on then, let's grit our teeth and get on with it, he would just fall to pieces, I think.
Oh, he'd be absolutely fucking useless. Can you imagine him digging a hole in those oversized suits? Like, he's got no muscles.
And even if he sort of put aside his disdain for you as a person, I bet his chat must be terrible, you know, because what life experience has he got that would have in common with, you know, 90% of the population? You'd sort of go, oh, well, of course, you know, the great Roman poet described it as thus. And you'd go, what is it? Stop coming out with quotes that I don't understand. Or, you know, and it would work the same way. You'd kind of go, oh, it's like that song. And he'd just have no idea unless it was like some 14th century Gregorian chant or something, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like it's like diseased meat. Like if I ate it, then I would become something, you know?
Yeah. Or you'd eat him and then like after a while you'd start going, well, I don't know, maybe they could privatise bits of the NHS, wouldn't be so bad. Oh, hang on, what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, that's another fine choice. Right, who's going to round out the trio then?
Now, I don't know specific names because I cannot watch more than, you know, a minute of the show. I find it so jarring. But anyone from Made in Chelsea.
Okay, yeah, good.
Literally, and any of the people on it, they're all equally tedious. And annoying.
Yeah, so I've never really watched it, but it felt like Made in Essex came first and it was a bit sort of like, haha, let's laugh at these awful people. And then someone went, oh, but there's awful posh people too. Then it looks like we're balanced. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, and both things are really horrible ideas. Like the fact that TV is mostly kind of just going, look at these pricks, you know, it's just such a such a horrible comment on society that these shows are so popular.
Well, it's like I don't mind the only way is Essex. It's like, yes, it's trash reality TV, but at least with them, when you get past the way they speak, they're actually quite intelligent people. They all own businesses, they're entrepreneurs, they, you know, have come from nothing and they've made loads of money and they're really hardworking, really into family, strong family values. So I kind of relate to them more and I respect them a lot more, even if they are, you know, they do chat shit and whatever, have their lips done and whatever. But the Made in Chelsea lot are scum in my eyes because all they do is expect handouts. They're living off mummy and daddy. And just because they've gone to a posh education, had a posh education, they're actually really thick. They're not intelligent at all. They're not street smart, very emotionally retarded, and like, yeah, I just find them the worst humans on earth because they don't benefit the earth in any way. It's just take, and they're fucking horrible to each other. They like cheat on their partners, they like mug off their best friends, they don't give a shit about their families, they're just like horrible people. Like, you could be really common as mutt or really poor, just be a nice person. Hmm. And they got loads of money and they're just horrible, horrible, horrible people. So, yeah, that's why I don't like them lot.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to argue against that viewpoint. I mean, like, it's weird, isn't it? It's like, also, when you know that someone's started off really wealthy and then by being a twat on screen, they get more money and fame, it's quite annoying.
So annoying, yeah.
I don't know, it just seems like a weird culture to be in. You know, it's like, how have you become like this when you've had, like, you know, you haven't had to struggle? Like, you should just be really content, be really glad that you can not work and just, I don't know, get strange beauty treatments all day.
Yeah, well, it's because they don't know the other side. So you can only experience, you know, gratitude and joy if you've had bad times. You know, it's like the dark and light, it's the opposites, isn't it? So because they've never had the contradicting emotions of, you know, struggling and not having any money, of course they're not going to feel content because that's what they've always known. You know what I mean? It's so that's where the entitlement comes from, and the continuous take behavior and just treating people like shit because they've never had to, like, ask someone for a favor or you know, work for shit wages and make sacrifices and all this sort of stuff. So they just have no, there's no depth. They're just completely one dimensional characters. And it's like, I feel like it's such a wasted life, to be honest. But, and I definitely feel like they should be put on TV.
No, definitely. Not unless there's going to be some kind of televised trial or something, you know, which seems like maybe the next logical step.
But you know, a few of them have tried to start doing stand up and that's really fucked me off as well.
Oh, I can imagine they wouldn't be popular.
And it's so bad. But again, because they go through life just getting everything hand on a plate, you know, life for them is relatively easy. I've gigged with a couple of them at gigs and like at good gigs with good lineups, and like they think that they can just, comedy is easy. They can just write a set and go on stage and say it. Oh, stand-up comedy is just talking, right? I'm like, no, it's not. But yeah, go on, go ahead. And then they go on stage and like the crowd would be like, woo, because like they recognize them as celebrity. And then they start doing the jokes and it's so bad. And as they just start to just die so horrifically, I'm like, I can't help it but stand at the sides and just be like enjoying the car crash. I'm like, yep, not as easy as it looks, mate. You know, you can't get, your fame can't get you everywhere, you know. Because I was thinking, I just don't want them to have a leg up in that industry. You know what I mean? It's not fair.
Well, also, yeah, I mean, it's a hard industry, isn't it? And like you have to work really hard and do a lot of work all the time and work your way up. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess that must be a real baptism of fire, though, because like, coming in at a sort of level where you haven't had to do all the small gigs as well must be sort of really eye-opening for them, I think. Yes. It's weird as well, isn't it? Because, you know, like the way it works, they sort of get all these people and they say, okay, what have you cunts been up to this week? And they say, well, I had a fallout with whatever she's called and we did that, and then they have to reenact it. Yeah. Having a life where those things happen and then reenacting it for money is just so weird.
It's weird. It's very strange. It's a strange time that we live in. And if you went back to, like, I don't know, the fucking 1800s and told them that these are TV shows that not only are going to be made in the future, but people are going to really enjoy and they're going to be very successful and win BAFTAs and shit, I don't think they'd believe us.
I mean, even like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
The other thing is, actually, I just thought, like, you've got Rees-Mogg and he's obviously posh and the Made in Chelsea people are posh, but they're posh in very different ways. Yeah, so I think they're going to grate each other as well, aren't they? And then like Amanda Holden, I can imagine sort of simultaneously thinking she's better than people, but also wanting to be kind of close to them.
She'll try and be like one of the girls from Made in Chelsea, and it's like she'll try and like pally up with them, and they'll just be like, what are you doing, you old bitch? Get away from me.
I'm sort of wincing at the idea of these people together on an island with you. So, I mean, this is a strong start, but we're going to move on from people now, because mercifully, amongst the wreckage of the plane, there was some food and drink left over. Unfortunately for you, it's your least favourite food and drink in the world. What are they and why are they so bad?
Okay, so the food is raw tomatoes.
Okay. What is it about raw tomatoes that does your head in?
Well, the taste, for starters, the skin inside, it's all squishy. And it's like, if you put a raw tomato in a sandwich, it just turns everything wet and sloppy. And like, it completely overpowers anything else. Like if it's in a salad, it's just disgusting. Literally, the thought of it makes me gag. I hate it so much. And then I hate people that are like, oh yeah, but you eat tomato ketchup. I'm like, it doesn't taste the same. It's nothing like raw tomato. Tomato ketchup is more like vinegary. It's sort of like salt in there, sugar in there, other bits and bobs. Like, it's, yeah. And cooked tomato is fine, but raw tomatoes, no. Disgusting. Mm. Horrible.
Because I'm completely the other way around, because I love all things tomato-y except for tomato sauce.
Oh my God.
You know, obviously I have to sort of critique a lot of stuff on this podcast, and most of the things is, you know, I have to sort of slag off things I like, but I do find it hard with tomatoes because I think they're one of my favorite things. Like if I'm hungover, like I crave them. Like it's really weird. Like anything tomato-y, it's like my body needs it. I don't know what it is that's in them.
Well, they're supposed to be quite good for you, I think, though, aren't they? That's why it is controversial, because and also it's just like, it's such a common thing. Like to have in sandwiches, to have in salads, to have as a starter, like to have with cheese, on bruschetta, and like I wish I liked it, because it's in a lot of food, and a lot of people will automatically give it to you because they think that you wouldn't not like it. Same as cucumber, I hate cucumber as well, disgusting, and so it's annoying. It does make my life hard, but I can't help it. I had coronavirus in October 2020, right? I caught COVID, and the main symptom of that is your smell and taste goes. Mm. And I couldn't figure out whether it had gone or not, and I was like, oh, I was getting really worried in that, because I had no other symptoms. I felt completely fine, but I was just like, oh fuck, I'm a bit worried that I've caught this. So just before I did a test, I had this, and my mum, she gave me a raw tomato, and she was like, see if you can eat this, because usually I would gag. There's no way I would ever be able to have it in my mouth, yeah. And I had this piece of tomato, raw tomato, and I chewed it, swallowed it, and it was,
wow.
I couldn't taste it. And she was like, oh my God, you've got COVID. And that was it. That was the decider, and I couldn't believe it.
That's like a lateral flow for you, isn't it? It's like a sort of easy lateral flow without having to like jab stuff down your throat and your nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, like, because I really like them, that means I have a lower tolerance for bad versions of them. So like if it was shit tomato that you get in a shit sandwich, you know, like from a petrol station or something, then that I would happily throw that away, you know, and it is just sort of wet, mushy, horrible stuff. And given that your plane has crashed, they will be the sort of tomatoes that you get from a plane. So they'll be really cold, like almost, you know, really sort of mushy, you know, watery, horrible thing. So yeah, in that respect, they're going to be bad tomatoes.
I'll just chuck them at the other people on the island.
Yeah. And imagine just having to eat, like, just living off tomatoes would be quite hard. Like, to be full from them. I mean, I love them, but to eat enough to be full would be quite difficult.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm starting to feel a bit queasy. The thought of that is disgusting. Nah, oh my God. And also, like, rotting fruit and veg. Mm. Like stinks so bad.
Yeah.
So that's another thing as well. They're going to be starting to go rotten and that. Ugh. Dirty.
And what would your drink choice be?
Again, another controversial thing, because a lot of people love it. It's a British delicacy, but the drink would be tea.
Tea, okay.
It tastes like fucking nothing. I don't understand why people are like, lovely cup of tea, so thirst quenching. First of all, it's just hot water, and the taste of tea is just like cardboard, I would imagine like pissy cardboard to taste like. Bland, shit, even if you put loads of sugars in it. I don't understand why people love it so much and why people say it really quenches their thirst. I don't know how a hot drink ever can. And people will drink, you know, 3 or 4 cups of it a day. I just don't understand it. I will never like it. I don't get it. But yeah, people seem to really love it.
Yeah, I don't know about thirst quenching, because it's sort of, it's the, you know, you wouldn't want to neck it down quickly if you were thirsty. Exactly. But
you don't give it to people when they're finishing a marathon, do you?
Yeah, exactly.
Down it at the finish line.
Yeah, here you go. You've run 26 miles. It's a lovely hot cup of tea. Yeah.
Blow on it.
I went on holiday once and there was this guy and, like, it was really hot. It was, you know, like mid-30s. And there was this guy on the beach who would always just sit there drinking tea. And then someone, it was a sort of place we were all there for, like, you know, a while. So everyone sort of got to know each other a bit. And then I heard one guy saying, like, how are you drinking tea? And he was like, oh, but, you know, it cools you down, doesn't it? Because it raises, like, it helps you sweat and then it cools you down. It's like, if I give you this cold bottle of water, I think you're going to be more cool than this fucking hot cup of tea.
It's bizarre. And also it's like, it's caffeine as well. It's not good for you. It's actually, I actually don't think it's good for you. I think it's all a trap.
Apparently there's lots of antioxidants, but I hear people talk about antioxidants all the time. Oh, blueberries, lots of antioxidants.
Yeah, but that's like fruit teas.
But no one knows what they are. Like, it's like, what do they do then? You're like, well, it's antioxidizing. But like, no one actually, they just get, you read it on the label of something, go, ha ha, antioxidants, this is great, this will help.
Yeah, but yeah, I think normal tea bags, they wouldn't have that though. It's like, fair enough, like fruit teas or, you know, like proper tea when they brew it and stuff. I can understand there being some really good benefits of that sort of tea, but most people are having tetleys, aren't they? Or just having like a tea bag. You don't know what's in it. Could be anything.
Yeah, because if you open a tea bag, it's just like ground up dust, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. It's so disgusting. I just don't know why people love it.
Fair choice. Okay.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, Sarah, fortunately, you won't be without entertainment on the island. The plane's entertainment system continues to work, but just your luck, it only has two working settings. One is your least favourite film of all time, and the other is your least favourite song. What are they and why?
Okay, least favourite song. It's not one song, but it's just anything by ABBA.
Okay, yeah.
I don't understand why they were so famous and popular, because yeah, the songs are just really jarring to me, and they're always played on the radio. That's the thing. Like, anywhere you go in the world, like, they're so, like, famous and that, and a lot of, they've got so many fans. And to the point, the reason why I hate them so much is the fact that I know the lyrics to pretty much all of their songs.
Yeah.
Because they're played all the time, and I remember hearing it from, you know, young as well, like, always on the radio when you go to, like, holiday camp or, you know, fucking caravan holiday, like, at a disco, like, they're always played. It's even worse when you don't like someone, but you're so familiar with the songs. It just gets under my skin. As soon as I hear an ABBA track, it just, makes me cringe. I hate it.
Yeah, because when you know the song, like, I worked at a radio station for years, so I'm very familiar with knowing the words to songs I don't like. Yeah. And it means when they get stuck in your head, they really get stuck in your head because you know all the words. And if you're at a wedding, sometimes, you know, you're all having a great time, and then that comes on, and it's like, it does remind me of being made to dance against my will a lot, you know, like yeah. I love dancing, I love music, but I hate dancing to anything that I don't like, you know, like, I can't sort of put it on, I'll just sort of go and sit down for a bit until something better comes on. Mm-mm. And ABBA's a real, like, because it's sort of something like the aunties like as well, and they'll be like, come on, drag you up, and you're like, oh God, this is awful.
It's cruel. Or if someone does it on karaoke, that's the worst.
Yeah, the other day we were in the kitchen, we had some, like, I don't know, just whatever station we'd found, and it was quite good. Like, you know, had some, like, upbeat tunes on, and there was this, like, housey mix that was quite good. And then the DJ went into, like, a sort of house mix of Dancing Queen, and it was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is, and it was so jarring.
Well, that's the problem. It brings these tracks back round and makes them current again when they get remixed like that. So you're hearing the old version, then you're hearing the remix version, and then you got kids. It's like, I mean, I actually really like the song, to be honest, but you got that Boney M track that got remixed. Everyone loves it. Rasputin. And then now it's like, my mum said to me, she was like, she finds it so funny that you got, like, young kids singing Boney M songs in 2022. It's like, what
the fuck? It is strange. Yeah, yeah. I didn't realise it was a remix, and I heard it on some video, and it was like some montage I saw on some programme, and I was like, why are they using this?
Yeah, but when they do it with like ABBA songs, I'm just like, oh my God, I cannot believe it, because then you know they're not going to go away for a long time.
No, they're not. I think they're there for forever now, I think. Yeah. Well, okay. So, well, I think we're going to have to give you like, you know, like a triple CD box set, best of ABBA then or something, or their complete back catalogue,
oh,
I guess.
God, please don't.
To make it fair. Because at least you can sort of really appreciate why you hate them so much. And you can imagine Amanda Holden's going to be all over it. She's going to be there on the equivalent of your table, dancing away.
Oh, she'll be loving it, won't she?
Made in Chelsea crew, maybe.
They won't know what's going on, I don't think. I think they won't even know who they are.
Yeah, fair enough. What would your film choice be?
So I don't know if you see it. It was the premise sounded good. The advert looked really good. That's why I went to see it. It was called Let It Be. And it was it was about a guy who wanted to be a singer. Like, he was at college and stuff, and like he was doing all these like open mics. He wanted to be a singer, and then something happened. Like, he got struck by lightning or banged his head, and when he woke up, the Beatles didn't exist, right? So when he went to like an open mic and was doing like a cover of a Beatles song, everyone's like, "Oh my God, this is amazing! The lyrics are amazing. This song is great." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, it's the Beatles," and they're like, "Who?" And he ends up, like, you know, obviously recording all these Beatles songs because he knows the music and the lyrics and stuff, and getting as big and as famous as the Beatles. And he becomes this world, like, worldwide phenomenon, and that it gets really famous. And then he's like, saying, "No, no, like, it's not me, it's not me," because he enjoys it for a little bit. And then he's like, "You've got to understand, like, you know, I feel like a fraud, it's the Beatles." And then I can't remember what happens, and it was so shit. The acting in it was so shit. Everything was so unbelievable. All the little like cameo roles were just really embarrassing. The script was so weak. And then at the end, it was like the sort of ending that was like, and he woke up and it was all a dream. Sort of like totally fucking wrote off the entire film that you've just sat through and watched. It was so pathetic. So it was the worst film I've ever seen in my life. And I'm so passionate and fucked off about never getting those 2 hours back. I cannot believe that I've wasted my life watching it. It should have been one of them ones that went straight to DVD. Why was it at the cinema? I don't understand. But yeah, that's that. And I like the Beatles, and I feel like it was very disrespectful to the Beatles, to be honest.
Hmm. So much of the Beatles was like, you know, how it's played, how it's recorded, you know, like the way it's done, you know, the people in the band. I don't think that if I just heard some guy doing the same songs, I'd go, "Oh my God, this is amazing." Like,
yeah, exactly.
As if, you know, I saw the Beatles for the first time and knew nothing about them, I'd probably go, "Fuck, these guys are really good."
Yeah.
But just hearing some guy at an open mic, I don't think just the lyrics and the melody and up would, you know, it's more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, especially in our day and age. You know what I mean? The reason why the Beatles were so massive is because they were doing something that was so new to that time. And also, it's like, it, like you said, it's because it was them. They had charisma and they play their instruments really well, and they had good relationship on stage and whatever. But like, just one guy with a guitar. It's just because actually, if you think of the lyrics and the songs, really in this day and age, they're quite basic. You know what I mean? I know sometimes simple is better, but like compared to the music that's being made today, it's like it's so unrealistic that he would play that at an open mic and people would go crazy, because it's like, it's really nothing. It's not the same at all.
Yeah.
But it's just annoying because they pull the best bits in the advert, innit? So I feel like I was really roped into that one.
It's almost like a sort of cynical marketing ploy for the Beatles. Like, it's almost like someone thought, "Wow, we need to get a new audience for the Beatles. Like, maybe this will drum up some new younger listeners or something." Not that I think they need their help, but I mean, because, you know, it's just got that sort of heavy-handedness about it of like, "Hey guys, everyone knows the Beatles are great, right? But what if they didn't exist?"
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just a bit simple.
Terrible, terrible idea. I would be really intrigued to see how much it made at the box office, because I don't think it would have made a lot, to be honest. And I don't think it got that good reviews, so I know I'm not alone in thinking it was a shit film.
Yeah, it does sound shit. And I think it's going to appeal to the Made in Chelsea people. Jacob Rees-Mogg is going to be nonplussed because I think the Beatles still count as noisy pop music in his opinion. And I think he'd probably love being contrary about it and just go, yeah. Oh,
or who are they?
Nonsense. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll make out he hasn't even heard of them.
Yeah. Amanda Holden, I think she'd probably like it, wouldn't she? It seems like a sort of simple, upbeat, romantic comedy sort of style film. Is it a romantic comedy? It's got that sort of vibe about it.
It did, yeah, it did have a romantic element to it. Mm. Yeah, she'd like it because she's trash.
Okay. Well, finally, the island is overrun by the biggest dick of all the animals. Which animal is it and why?
It is going to be the eel.
The eel. Oh, yeah, they're weird, aren't they? Yeah. What is it about the eel particularly?
Slimy. They bite you. They just look disgusting. They're so scary. I don't really know what point they, like, what's their point on this earth? Like, I don't know where they are in the food chain. Like, what do they do? And, yeah, they just make me cringe. I hate them.
Yeah, they're like big, like, sea worms, but they're fast, aren't they? And, like, and some of them look really vicious, like, because, like, some of them, I think, have got quite decent teeth on them, haven't they?
They're sort of... And they're electric. You can get electric eels.
Yeah, what the fuck is that all about? I mean, that's like...
Mutant fish.
Have you ever encountered an eel in any way?
I haven't, actually. I've never seen one in real life. But when I see them on, like, documentaries or, like, if I see a picture of one, they just instantly, I just think, oh, God, like, I would just not want to be near them. Even to watch them, like, there's some fish that I wouldn't want to be near, but, like, you can watch them, you think, oh, they look nice, they look pretty or whatever, but eels are just, they're so ugly, aren't they?
Yeah. I tell you what, actually, just thinking, I was like, where have I seen one? And I was thinking about where I saw one. I did see one in a pond somewhere, and I realised it was in Sydney, in this, like, botanical garden, right? There were these ponds, and they had these big eels inside that you could see, and there was a little sign about the, you know, there's, like, a little, you know, like you get in parks and stuff telling you about the flora and fauna. And it said about the eels, like, these eels weren't put here by us. They've just somehow populated the pond. So we think they might have, like, crawled in from somewhere. And the idea of a fucking eel crawling around on land is scarier than a snake, I think, somehow. You know, just because something about the wetness of it and the fact that it's not supposed to be doing that. You know, what's your game?
And it's, I think they've been around for a long time. Like dinosaur period.
Probably.
Look, it says, I've just Googled it, yeah. They say the eels arose 65.5 million years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah, like, because I was thinking, well, who's going to eat them? It's not like they've got anyone above them that's going to eat them, like, at a huge rate. And they kind of just keep themselves. They just do their own thing. And obviously they're like slugs. So if you believe in that we all came from, like, slugs and evolved and everything from there all these years ago, it's like, and if they live in water, they're not going to be... You know, they're not going to be affected by the ice age or any sort of meteor hitting the earth or whatever, or any sort of weather conditions. They could just get by, innit? So that's what scares me, the fact that eels will outlive everybody. They'll be around forever. And it's just like, ugh, the things they've seen, you know.
The things they've seen.
Yeah.
The tales of an eel.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think that's a good sort of final addition to the island, just to make it even more unpleasant. I think you've done a great job here, Sarah, because, I mean, all the things and people that you've picked are dicks. I mean, as I say, I like tea and tomatoes, so I'm going to argue with you slightly about that. But I know for the feelings they conjure up in you, I think, you know, it's a solid choice as well. So yeah. Thank you for coming on Desert Island Dicks and sharing those today.
Thanks for having me.
What are you up to at the minute? Where can people see more of you?
So I'm gigging all over the place. I'm working on some previews because I've got a new show coming up. So I'm doing Leicester Comedy Festival next Thursday. So if you're around in Leicester, please come to that. And also, and then I've got a London preview on Thursday, the 24th of February at the Bill Murray in Angel, which is a really cute venue. So yeah, just sort of working on that really.
Cool. Nice one. Well, we'll all keep up to date with what's going on. And Sarah, thank you once again for coming on Desert Island Dicks today.
Thank you so much for having me. Nice one.
There you go, Sarah Callahan there, sharing the worst people and things that she could be stuck on an island with. as is the whole remit of this podcast. Now, just to say, we haven't brought back compact discs yet, but we plan to at some point. So you can always get in touch with us. And if you just want to get in touch about anything, then please do. You can go to dixpod.com/contact, or you can get in touch with us on Instagram or Twitter at dixpod. So it's always nice to hear from you. It doesn't have to be anything particularly related to the podcast. You can just say hi if you want. But those are the means by which you can contact us. Desert Island Dicks is a Sync Clap production. It was created by James Deacon, produced and presented by me, Dan Benedictus, edited by Chris Attaway. Social media support comes from Jason Leach and Chinsey Clinton. And as always, a special mention to Grand Mampster Flash for statistics and John Deacon for just knowing everything about the podcast and, you know, just being a solid pillar of the Dicks Pod crew. That's that. I'm done now. And so are we. Until another time when we bring you another wonderful guest on Desert Island Dicks. Bye.